Bibles tonight, you can turn with us to Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. And we'll see there. And I think we are once again live and streaming the Bible study portion of the service tonight. But Deuteronomy, chapter number 28 is where we'll be in a few moments. And up to this point, if you remember, Amos has been speaking to Israel, who is in a covenant relationship, a covenant agreement with God. Now, last Wednesday, we looked at and defined just what the covenant agreement was, just what the Mosaic covenant was all about. And now tonight, what we want to do is look and focus on the purpose of this agreement. Look at and focus on the purpose of this covenant, the Mosaic agreement, the Mosaic covenant, as it were. And this covenant, this relationship, was a very special. It was a very unique agreement that involved God and the nation of Israel. Now, in order to understand Amos, it's needful for us to understand the covenant and what the covenant is all about. And it's necessary to know that the covenant did not necessarily begin Israel's relationship with God. Even before the covenant, even before the agreement, they were already in a relationship with God through the Abrahamic covenant. And that was the previous agreement before this covenant, before the Mosaic covenant came into play. But now this Mosaic covenant was intended to help them both enjoy and delight in God. And this specific covenant involved blessings for faith. And one of the things we are going to see throughout this look at the covenant tonight is that genuine faith is always demonstrated by obedience to God's law. There are many people out there that they claim and they say that they're Christians, that they're children of God, that they belong to God, but their life does not back up that statement with obedience. And failure to keep covenant included curses for unbelief. And unbelief is demonstrated by disobedience to God's law. And so we're there tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let's begin there if we could at verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says there, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath swore unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruits of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And so we see here, again, Amos will not make sense if you do not understand, at least in a general way, the terms of the Mosaic covenant that Israel agreed to. And as we read this chapter, the first 20 verses, we see exactly what the terms appear to be. And we can really break it down, even though it's 20 verses, we can break it down into three verses. Notice there again, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 28. Very simple. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then verse number 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So here it is. Here's in a nutshell the very simple agreement that God came up with that Israel agreed to. If they obeyed what God had to say, then they would be blessed. They would enjoy God. They would delight in God. But if they disobeyed, they would be cursed. In other words, they would not enjoy the blessing of God with them, but instead, they would receive judgment. Now, I want you to notice something, because it's a very interesting comparison, if we can put it that way. But we read 20 verses here in chapter 28. 14 of them dealt with the blessings of God. And only 5 dealt with what the consequences would be, what the repercussions would be, for not listening to God. Now, some might get the wrong message from that and come to the conclusion, well, we can disobey God and the consequences won't be all that bad. That should not be the conclusion we come to. The conclusion we should come to is simply this, and that is the blessings are always better than the consequences. And so why and who in their right mind, if they are a Christian, look at, okay, here's what I get if I listen to God and obey God. Here's what happens if I disobey God. Who in their right mind would say, you know what, I think I'm going to go with the cursings. I think I'm going to go with the vexations. And I think I'm going to go with the rebukes. And I think I'm going to go with the judgment of God. Now listen tonight, if we, you know, can enjoy God and delight in God and have the blessings of God on our life, I mean, why wouldn't we listen to Him? And as the scripture says, hearken and listen unto His voice. We read here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and, you know, many responses could come to mind as we look at this covenant. And we might think that this law of God, this Mosaic covenant, we might look at it as cold, or we might even look at it as burdensome. We might look at it as unfair. We might look at it as confusing. But the reality is, regardless of how I feel about it, regardless of how you feel about it, the fact remains that God offered the terms of the covenant. He offered the terms of the agreement. He laid them out crystal clear. It wasn't as if, you know, a few years ago, there was this movie that came out. It was called The Founder. And it was about basically the story, the founding of McDonald's, which apparently I had no idea of the true history of it, but apparently the first restaurant opened in California. It was two brothers who opened it, and then a fella by the name of Ray Kroc came along and basically stole the business from under him by playing, you know, by playing tricks with them when it came to contracts and different things along those lines. And that's what I was thinking of here as I was thinking about this covenant. God didn't do that. He didn't, you know, put in any sneaky, you know, amendments or clauses or, you know, the fine print, you know, that nobody ever takes the time to read. I mean, how many times do we get on a website or we download something or whatever the case may be, and we just scroll all the way to down to the bottom and we click accept? And we didn't take 1 minute to read that fine print. We have no idea what we just agreed to. Last year, this lady went to Disney World and went to a restaurant. And apparently she had a seafood allergy, a shellfish allergy or something along those lines. She went over with the waiter, are you sure it has nothing in here? And they said, yeah, nothing. Well, apparently it did, and she had a reaction to it, and she passed away. She died. And the husband went to sue Disney. And, well, apparently, this husband and wife and their family, they signed up for Disney Plus. It's basically, you know, Disney's version of Netflix. And Disney comes back to them, and they say, well, by you signing up for Disney Plus and agreeing to the terms of service on Disney Plus, that means now you can't turn around and sue Disney for anything because you signed up for our service and now you can't, you know, sue us for anything. We might be in the wrong, but you can't sue us. God didn't do anything like that. He didn't sneak anything in. He laid out the terms where they were, and what they were for, and Israel agreed to that. Now, we typically view this kind of covenant, and particularly the law, we tend to view it in a cold way. We tend to look at it in a negative way, in a negative light. But that isn't the way it's intended to be viewed. Go over, if you would, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And this, of course, the longest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 119. And we see what David says about the law. Psalm 119. And notice there, if you would, verses 16 through 18. Psalm 119, verses 16 through 19. The Bible says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so here we see David, when it came to the law of God and the word of God, he said he would delight in God's word. That he would keep God's word. Why? Because there were wondrous things that came out of thy law. There were wondrous things that come out of God's word. Then notice, if you would, verse number 70. Psalm 119, verse number 70. Their heart is as fat as grease. But notice what he says again, but I delight in thy law. And then finally there, verse number 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And so here we have David. He says about God's word, about his law, that it is full of wondrous things, that he delights in it, that he keeps it, that he loves it. My question for us tonight is, have you ever considered God's law as a joy? Have you ever considered it a delight? Have you ever considered it as a love? If you've never considered God's law a joy or delight, and many, they don't view God's law this way. They don't. They look at the law and all they see is a rule book of things that they can and cannot do. But as Christians tonight, we ought to view it as it was intended to be viewed. And that is as a joy and a delight and a love. And so go back, Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter 1. And notice again verses 1 and 2. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. So we see here, Amos had a message for Israel because Israel broke their part of the Mosaic Covenant. They broke their part of the agreement by their sin of inward unbelief that was then demonstrated through their outward disobedience. And by the way, that's always how disobedience happens. We first start to internally think and disbelieve God, and then eventually that works its way out to where now we go from not believing God to now we are disobeying God. And that's what Israel was guilty of here. And it's for that reason God is sending Amos to speak on his behalf. And we see what he says is going to happen. He says to the habitation of the shepherds that they will mourn. He says the town of Mount Carmel will wither. We have here in verses 1 and 2, two kings that are mentioned, King Uzziah and King Jeroboam. And again, that helps us to put a date on what is happening sometime B.C. 776 to 763. But referencing these kings also serves another purpose. And that was that if Amos was sent to give a message to Israel, then that means these two kings, they were failing Israel in a very important way. And that is that these kings, they were not representing God very well. They were not being very good representatives of God. They were not displaying God's glory. They were not displaying it to Israel, and they were not displaying it to the nations. These kings could have very well led God's people in the truth, and that was to be their job. That was to be their responsibility. They were to lead God's people in the truth, but they did not lead them in truth. They were not leading them in truth. And these kings had the responsibility to lead the nation of Israel. But they failed in their responsibility. And now, because they failed in their responsibility, a shepherd is being sent to speak for God. Now, it's very interesting because we look at Uzziah, we look at Jeroboam, and we see that they're kings. And it would be very right to think, well, you know, surely the fact that they're kings, that's going to protect them from God's judgment. Oh, no, 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 no. Just because they're kings, they are not going to be immune from God's judgment. Everyone between the plains to the mountaintops to the two kings, all of them, they were going to face God's judgment. And that teaches us a very important truth tonight, and that is this, that God's judgment, it's a complete judgment, and it's a thorough judgment. He is, without any shadow of a doubt, he is the perfect judge. You know, sometimes we watch the news and we hear of a court case or something along those lines, and we hear of a ruling that a judge makes, and we sit back and we, you know, say to ourselves, how could he make that ruling, or how could she make that ruling? And the evidence is clear as day sometimes, and we see somebody that they might be guilty of sin, and yet they get off. How is that possible? Because unfortunately, in our day and age, it's not always about true justice. It's not always about the truth. It's not always about what is right and what is wrong. A lot of the times, politics and, you know, all that sort of stuff creeps in and influences people's decisions. But with God, there's no politics. There's no playing favorites. When he says he's going to judge, he's going to judge, and he's going to judge everybody he says he's going to, and it's going to be a fair and across-the-board judgment. Everybody's going to be in the same boat. No one would escape. And so understanding this covenant relationship, it prepares for us now to see God's perfect justice, to see his shocking mercy. And remember, the first more than half of the book of Amos deals with, I think it's the first 7 or 8 chapters, deals with God's judgment. It's not until you get to chapter 8 or chapter 9 that we begin to see God's mercy because he has to first show them that, hey, I'm serious about this message. You broke our agreement, and I am not a God who takes lightly the breaking of an agreement. And so the book of Amos is going to introduce us to God's mercy in due time. But first, we see the judgment and the seriousness of what it means to break a covenant with God. And we'll begin to see that next Wednesday night. But again, in the meantime, Deuteronomy chapter 20. I was reading it again before service tonight. And again, it just struck me as to, man, the blessings of God. In fact, go back to Deuteronomy there if you would, because there's a particular verse I want us to focus on. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse number 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. As Christians, we can be just, for lack of a better word, we could be overwhelmed with the blessings of God if we but hearken and listen to his voice. And the simple question tonight is, where do you find yourself? Are you one who, you know, you listen to God, you heed his voice, you heed his commandments? Or do you sometimes find yourself doing it your own way? Well, we have the principle not only from Deuteronomy and the covenants, but all throughout Scripture, that when we do it our way, we miss out on the blessings of God. And I hope tonight that we won't miss out on the blessings of God. That we'll, if we make an agreement with Him, if we are in covenant with Him, that we'll listen to Him. We'll heed His voice. We'll enjoy Him. We'll delight in Him. And we'll miss the judgment of God because we're too busy enjoying the blessings of God. Let's pray.